We have mixed feelings about the machines that help us get through life. People probably shed few tears for an old washing machine or refrigerator that quits on us, but we have more emotional relationships with our cars and trucks. We pour our personalities into our vehicles and a lot of money over time, which brings us to the focus of this month's edition of The Squeaky Wheel. Zach Edwards is the owner of Ashland Automotive. He has a few ideas about when it makes sense to put more money into an older car and when it makes more sense to just say goodbye. Zach, always good to see you. Thanks for joining us on The Squeaky Wheel.
Thank you, Jeff.
So I have to believe you get into this situation a lot, the question of should I fix it or should I have it towed to the junkyard?
We do. And I think it's great that you pointed out that emotional connection people have with their cars, because we see it every day at the shop, and it's a really important part of our job to recognize that and to work with people who are struggling.
You're almost like veterinarians in that sense, I would think.
Yeah, or like a family. We become a pretty integral part of people's families, and mm-hmm. as people's children grow, they start driving, and we start servicing their children's cars, and then it just goes on and on, and you really realize how much of a part of their life you become.
So, and the car certainly is the actual member of the family too. So, what kinds of things do you counsel people to think about if they come to you and say, well, I think I could fix this, or maybe it's time to say goodbye? I mean, how do you guide them in that decision without clearly, obviously, making it for them?
Yeah. So we urge them to consider what they're looking for in a car, what their needs are. So, a lot of times, usually, actually, the driver of the cars has a car that meets their needs. And if they have a car that doesn't meet their needs, and that's a good time to consider a purchase of a different car. But if the car they're driving is actually suitable for what they use it for, and if they actually like the car, which overwhelmingly most people, they like the car that they're driving, then it usually makes sense to fix the car, even if the repair costs more than the car is actually worth. And we get that a lot too, where a customer will say, well, I don't want to spend $2,500 on a car that's only worth $3,000. And our answer to that is usually something like, well, if the car meets your needs and you like the car, you're not going to be able to replace the car for $2,500. That's the cost of the repair. And if you wanted to buy another used car, that car is going to need maintenance and work too, and you don't really know what it's going to need. With the car that they're driving, we've identified what it needs because we've inspected it, and we have a history, a relationship with the car. And so those are all really good things for the customer to think about. And unless they're going to go buy a brand new car, you can really only put off maintenance so long. Even new cars need tires, brakes, oil changes, all sorts of stuff eventually.
So, in a sense, the car that may have problems but that you've had for a while is the devil you know.
Exactly.
You know what the issues with maintenance are with that, and what has gone wrong with it before, and what is likely to go wrong again.
Yeah, and if you've been a good maintainer of that car, you've done your oil changes, you've done your transmission services, you in a sense, you've taken care of that investment. For most people, the car is their second biggest investment in their
Their lives after their home, I would think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you've been diligent about doing the services, then you know that car is worth putting more money into and just keeping it going.
It's interesting framing you give it, too, when you talk about the car that meets your needs, because the fact is that if your trips are, 5 to 10 miles three times a day or something like that, you don't really need a car that's going to be going whiz-bang down the freeway at high rates of speed and high reliability.
Right. And sometimes people come in and, as you mentioned in your opening segment there, you kind of referred to the fact that cars are an extension of one's personality in some ways. And so sometimes people are ready for a new personality. They come in and they're really just looking for an excuse. Tell me this car needs $4,000 worth of work so I can get rid of it and go buy a BMW or something else. And that's another good time to maybe let it go if you're really ready for something new. Or a lot of times people jump into a new income bracket and they just really want a brand new car. Well, at that point, then it makes sense because you're not going to talk them out of that desire. That's a personal choice that they want to make, and so it makes sense for them.
We're talking to Zach Edwards once again on our Squeaky Wheel segment. He's the proprietor of Ashland Automotive, as the name implies, in Ashland, which does a bang-up business fixing cars. And you can join us as we talk about cars and the proper approach to, in this case, when to hold them, when to fold them. When do you hold on to a car that's been around for a while? And when do you decide, you know, this is one I can have towed away and maybe donate to JPR or something? Didn't mean to sneak our little commercial in there, but there it is. 800-838-3760 to join this conversation now. No obligation required. 800-838-3760. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. The idea of a brand new car, I want to get into that part of it with you because you know, it's always been said that, you know, car loses so much value just driving off the dealer lot in the first place, that when people are asking, like, well, you know, should I go for a brand new car or should I go for a lightly used car? What are some of the things that you present to them as options?
Well, first of all, I should say I live in a used car world. Our whole world revolves around cars that are at least 3 years old for the most part. Mm-hmm. We do oil changes and scheduled maintenances on new cars that have, you know, less than 10,000 miles, and that's fine, but that's by far not the norm. I would say that myself and most of my staff would all agree that buying a brand new car isn't really necessary, and we would advise or counsel our customers, if they were to ask us this question, to shop for a slightly used car just for that exact reason. You know, you don't have to take the hit yourself of the depreciation that occurs just from the car no longer being new. You know, someone else has taken that hit, and a slightly used car, 20 or 30,000 miles on it, or even 60,000 miles, you know, nowadays, is a really great purchase, I think. I mean, if I was to go buy a new car, that would be the definition of a new car for me. It would be a car with less than 60,000 miles on it.
Have you ever owned a new car? Have you ever bought a car brand new?
No, I have not. Ooh. And I was, you know, I have a son who is always looking at cars and talking about cars and wants these fancy European exotic cars. And I told him one day, I just had to break it to him. I said, you will never own a new car. It's just not ever going to happen for you. So
what's the lowest mileage you've ever had on a car that you bought?
I think I had a really great Nissan Maxima, and it needed a transmission, which is how I bought it. And that car maybe had 90 or 88,000 miles on it. Mm-hmm. And it had never had a transmission oil change. And so that's the reason the transmission failed. That was the lowest mileage car I've ever owned. And I put a lot of miles on that car. It was a fantastic car.
And was it? What year was it?
It was a 94.
Okay. I had an 82 Maxima once, and it lasted a very long with the diesel engine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was unusual. So a lot of people didn't want to buy it. I think that's why we ended up with it. So Zach Edwards, our guest. We're talking the Squeaky Wheel. Let's get a call in here from Pat in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. Pat, go ahead. Are you there? Okay. Hello? Oh, whoop. There was Pat. Hang on. Go ahead, Pat. You there?
Okay. My comment was a funny story about my dad and collection of cars. My dad always lived a reasonably frugal life, and when he got to be a certain age in retirement, he always wanted to have a big Mercedes sedan, and so he went down and bought one from the dealer here. This is back when we had a Mercedes dealership in Grants Pass. And owned it for all, and it was a wonderful car, beautiful, everything you'd ever want. And he owned it for about 2 weeks and then took it back to the dealer. And we were all just flummoxed and astonished that he did that. And when I asked him about it, he said, look, it's kind of like this. You have your own self-image of yourself that you generate your whole life. And if you do something like I did where I bought that car, I felt like a phony every time I drove it.
Really?
It just wasn't me. And he went back to buying frugal cars, and that's what he drove the remainder of his life, just domestic cars. And so for him, it was not only just a means of conveyance, which I tell my kids about, but for him, it was also his own self-image and what he believed in himself. So cars are, there's a lot more to owning a car than just the car itself.
So he really felt like he was living somebody else's life driving that Mercedes or something.
That's right, and he did. He didn't feel right driving that car because he felt like somebody else, and he felt like a phony, because if you knew my dad, he wasn't a Mercedes kind of guy.
Well, the real question is how much did the car depreciate in the 2 weeks after he took it off the lot?
Well, I got to tell you, he never, ever told us, but I knew that he took a beating on it.
Yeah, he did.
You know, talking about cars themselves, my sons were just similar to your son, where they talk about an exotic car from Europe or somewhere. And I told them that, you know, really a car is just merely a means of conveyance. And what you're really doing is saying stuff about yourself that may or may not be true. So I'm more on the frugal side than they are. I drove a Volkswagen diesel Jetta for 6 years until Volkswagen recalled it.
Uh-huh.
By the time I had that, I had 260,000 miles on it. And when they recalled it and bought it from me, they gave me such a good deal, I couldn't believe it. So, yep. Of course, this has to do with the diesel scam.
Sure, sure.
For me, it was an excellent car.
All right. Well, thanks for the story,
Pat. Low standards, so it works well.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that your dad had to go a bit of through a 2-week identity crisis to figure out who he was, but it sounds like it was worth it to him. Thanks for that. This is the Squeaky Wheel on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking with Zach Edwards from Ashland Automotive about when to hold on to a car and put some more repair money into it, and when to kiss it goodbye and let somebody else have it, maybe even JPR. I don't know why I keep bringing that up. Maybe it's because it's getting close to fun drive time, which was actually 2 months away. But anyway, you can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You know, I had a conversation like this once about, in fact, it was about the Maxima diesel wagon. And I took it to a guy and said, well, you know, so what does it need? He said, well, you know, it could use a valve job, being an aging diesel. And I said, so should I put the money into it? He said, well, no, because, you know, it'll cost so much, and you could gold plate the car and still not get the value out of it. You know, if it were Mercedes or something, you were doing a valve job on the diesel engine, different story. So, I mean, so how do you guide people through those conversations? Because you're dealing with emotions, certainly, but money too.
Yeah. And so I would say in that case, you know, I don't know if you got the best advice or not. Maybe it depends on your situation. And so we try to really listen to what people's needs are. And another important thing to consider, this just came up in the shop recently, you know, rust. So if you have a car that's has significant rust damage or significant body damage, that's another thing to consider. A car that's not rusty, which is oftentimes the case here, but aging, you know, that car is still worth putting money into because it's just a machine. And machines, when maintained properly, last a really long time nowadays. So, straight body, no rust, and meeting your needs, it's probably going to be the best financial decision to just fix the car and get on with what you do. Usually people are working. They're making money some other way, and so they need that transportation in order to continue in their daily life of earning their income. And so shopping for a car, selling a car, buying a car is all a lot of work and a lot of time. And if you have the opportunity to just get the car fixed, pick it up in 3 or 4 days when it's done, get down the road, it makes a lot more sense for people.
What about if they're saying, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to have this car much longer. I can see myself in this car for another year or two. I might skip some of the things I might do at the 75,000, 90,000, 120, whatever.
Yep.
What would be your advice there?
Yep, that's a pretty common question as well. We could break it down to how much it's going to cost them per month then. You know, if it needs $2,000 worth of repairs and they want to get 2 more years out of it, then you can say that's going to be less than $100 a month that you're going to be paying to keep this car. And what are you going to do in the meantime? You know, for the next 2 years, you still need a car to drive. And so a lot of times they just don't have a choice, really. And we need to help them feel okay about the fact that they don't have a choice. They just have to fix this car. It's not uncommon for a customer to, unintentionally, I would think, but to try and talk us into doing a repair that's inferior to try and save them money because they think that saving money is going to be the best thing for them. But the truth is that trying to save money with car repair is almost never the best thing for the driver of the car because it's compromising quality, it's compromising longevity of the repair, and most importantly, it's usually compromising safety and reliability.
So they're just asking you to fix it up to a certain standard and not beyond.
It's not uncommon for a customer to ask that, and it's, like I said, it's unintentional. They're trying to do what they think is going to be the best thing for them, not realizing that, you know, you could spend $800 or $900 on a repair, and it could all be for nothing if that repair doesn't last. So oftentimes you just have to go the extra distance and do it right, and then, you know, be assured that it's going to last.
I think we actually have a call from our newsroom here. Here's Jessica from JPR. Jessica, welcome to The Exchange with Zach Edwards on the Squeaky Wheel. You there?
I think we actually have a call from
her. Yep, okay, looks like she's listening through the radio. Never a good way to do things. I should have taught her that one a long time ago. So ultimately it gets down to a bit of a set of cross-references here about what your needs are in a vehicle,
mm-hmm.
Your actual physical day-to-day, like what I need to have available to me,
yep.
Your emotional needs in there, and, of course, your financial situation.
Yeah.
Get cross-referenced. Have you had some real agonizing decisions with people where it's kind of like letting go of a pet or something?
Yeah, definitely. It's this. Our job is really not easy at all in so many different aspects. And we've had customers that have put a bunch of money into a car, and then a week later they get into a car accident, and then the car is, you know, totaled, and the money that they put into the car is, you know, essentially just flushed. And it's awful. I mean, we never want to see that happen. We've had customers, their cars get stolen after they put a bunch of money into the car, or, you know, almost anything can happen. You know, a forest fire can burn a customer's car in their driveway after they've spent a ton of money getting it fixed up. And so that's where you get the insurance question, I guess, and how much to insure a used car, but that's a whole different story.
Is one of the services at Ashland Automotive, do you guys, if people are thinking about buying cars, do you give it the once over?
Absolutely. That's probably the greatest piece of advice any young driver or veteran driver could know is before you buy a car, not after, but before, bring it to your trusted shop, have them do a really thorough inspection, which helps you, gives you some leverage when you go to purchase it. You can say to the seller, hey, this car is going to need some work. You want to split it with me? And most sellers will say yeah, and so the inspection actually will pay for itself that way, and you know what you're getting.
All right, a bunch of good advice for know when to hold them, when to fold them with an aging car. Zach Edwards from Ashland Automotive is the co-host here on the Squeaky Wheel. Good to see you once
again. Thanks, Jeff.